Not of One Blood by Charles Weissman. This is a TearingDownIdols.com audiobook. This audiobook is free of copyright. Reproduction and redistribution are encouraged. For more reading and listening material on a variety of subjects, please visit TearingDownIdols.com. Hypocrisy and Race. One of the best ways to judge the validity and truth of what someone is saying is to see if they are inconsistent and hypocritical. This is why Christ always exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. I have long noticed that those who try to promote racial equality are some of the biggest hypocrites around. Let's look at some examples of this. 1. In the book One Blood, the authors make frequent reference to Hitler and the Nazis. They equate any belief of racial differentiation with the racist Hitler wanting to exterminate all Jews and gypsies. At the same time, most view Franklin Roosevelt as a paragon of virtue. Those who ended up in Nazi concentration camps were put there because they were found to be subverters, traitors, spies, revolutionaries, and the like. It did not matter if they were Jews, Poles, French, or even German. But when the war started, Roosevelt had Japanese Americans thrown in concentration camps for no reason at all. It was solely based upon their race. Hitler allowed Jews in the civil service and the military. There were colonels, generals, even two field marshals who were Jews. Roosevelt kept the American military racially segregated. Yet, who is regarded as a racist? Hitler, because the enemy has said so. Most Christians have been duped by the establishment, and thus are hypocrites when they talk about Hitler and Nazism. It is used as an emotional ploy to control the thoughts of people. 2. Egalitarian Christians who claim to support the concept of creation and are against evolution have a giant problem that can only be dealt with by hypocrisy. The problem is, how do you get all the different races with all their different and permanent characteristics from one family group? How can Adam and Eve, or Noah and his three sons, produce such a wide variety of races? The only way this can be accomplished is by using the concepts of evolution, the very thing which they oppose and say is dead wrong. Here are some examples. Creationists have the same problem as evolutionists of explaining the origin of the different tribal physical characteristics from one common ancestral population. Obviously, segregation into small groups is necessary in either model if distinctive characteristics are to emerge and become stabilized in each group. Footnote: Henry Morris, Scientific Creationism, Creation Life, 1974, page 181. End footnote. So both creationists and evolutionists have the same problem and the same explanation. It was evolutionists that devised the idea of one group dividing into smaller, isolated groups. Creationists say that then distinctive characteristics can emerge, that is, evolve into something different. As these groups migrated away from Babel, they encountered new and different climate zones. This would also have affected the balance of inherited factors in the population. So we see that the pressure of the environment can A, affect the balance of genes within a group, and B, even eliminate entire groups. Footnote: Ham, Snelling, The Answers Book, Master Books, 1991, page 147. End footnote. Here we have creationists proclaiming the main platform of the evolutionary theory, that the environment is a cause of new genetic traits, and thus, of new life forms. Virtually all evolutionists would agree with biblical creationists that all people groups, or races, have come from the same and original population. Footnote: Ham, Wyland, Batten, One Blood, Master Books, page 58. End footnote. The only difference between the two is the length of time that it took to form or evolve the different races. 3. Another example of inconsistency and hypocrisy is this statement from the preface of the book One Blood. There is no way to understand the cultural cancer of racism until we first seriously read the Bible, for this breathtaking collection of 66 books is completely silent on our modern concept of races. Footnote: One Blood, page 13. End footnote. In other words, we can't understand the modern problem of racism without reading the Bible, but the Bible has nothing to say on the modern concept of races. They obviously want to have their cake and eat it too. As Christians, they must push the Bible, but as egalitarians, they have to say the Bible is not racial. The result is this double-minded, hypocritical statement. 4. Another case involving hypocrisy is the mention of the slavery issue in America. However, the white people in America never made blacks slaves. They were made slaves by their own people in Africa. Negroes in Africa are notorious slaveholders and traders. They captured other Negroes and sold them to Jewish merchants who brought them to America. The white colonists did not want the Negro slaves, but were forced to accept them by the British Crown. There is no mention of these facts, or the fact that there were free blacks in America that were slave owners, or that there were white slaves. The result is hypocrisy. 5. One common subject used by egalitarians is the problem of race relations. But it is always the white man who is at fault. Whether it is a matter of prejudice, violence, oppression, or crime, the white man is the cause. In the book One Blood, it talks about how black athletes are called nigger, the contempt white men have for Japs. And then it says, "Remember the beastly dragging death of the black man from Texas by white supremacists." Footnote: One Blood, page 14. End footnote. Since the white man occupies the superior position in the world, it is the white man that must be blamed for race problems. But this is immense hypocrisy. Why not mention the contempt that the colored races have for the white race? Why not quote Malcolm X or some other black leader who despises white people? Why not reveal the hatred that Mexicans and Hispanics have for the white race and how they claim they will kill the gringos and take back the southwestern states? Why not talk about the black gang, the Crips, which requires one to kill a white person for membership? It is hypocrisy not to do so, and only mention the few problems associated with white people. As far as interracial crimes are concerned, the greater number of them, and more appalling acts, are committed by colored races against the white race. Here are some cases. Denver, Colorado. A white female teenager, Brandy Duval, is gang-raped, sodomized, tortured with a broomstick, and stabbed 28 times by a gang of 6 blacks and Hispanics. Her skull was caved in, and her dead body was dumped into a ditch. Alexandria, Virginia. An 8-year-old white child, Kevin Shiflett, is killed in a knife attack by a black attacker who also punches his 80-year-old great-grandmother in the chest and stabs her. Burlington, North Carolina. A 10-year-old white female, Tiffany Long, is kidnapped by 2 black males and 1 black female. She is raped, sodomized, sexually tortured, and murdered. The black female rammed a broomstick up her vagina and rectum. Killeen, Texas. A white couple, Todd and Stacy Bagley, are kidnapped on the way to church, lit on fire, burned to death, and shot in the head, execution style, by four blacks. South Carolina. A young white female, Melissa McLaughlin, is kidnapped, raped, tortured, and murdered by seven blacks. Her body was found skinned alive. Kansas City, Missouri. A six-year-old white child, Jake Roble, is dragged to death by a black carjacker, Kim Davis. Davis drove away as the boy being dragged on the pavement screamed outside of the car, still partially attached to the seatbelt. Although Davis knew this and people yelled at him to stop, he went even faster. Spotsylvania, Virginia. On July 23, 1990, Nancy C.A., a white housewife and mother of two, was viciously attacked in her car by Negro Michael Morris. C.A. was raped, choked with her own pantyhose, and locked in her car trunk, where she was cooked to death. Toledo, Ohio. During 1980 through 81, two Negro brothers, Anthony and Nathaniel Cook, murdered nine white people and raped seven white women. One victim, Dawn Bax, age 12, was raped, beaten, and had her skull crushed in by the Cook brothers. 1 month later, Anthony Cook kidnapped a white couple, Denise Ciotowski, 21, and Scott Moulton, 21. He forced them to drive to a secluded area, where he bound the man, forced him in the trunk of the car, and raped the woman. The Negro then crammed her into the trunk and emptied his gun into the couple. Jonesboro, Georgia. On a sunny afternoon, Whitney Land, a beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed woman, and her daughter Jordan went to a park. A Negro, Wesley Harris, noticing no one was around, pulled out a gun and shot them both point blank. He took what little money Whitney had, stuffed the bodies in the trunk of her car, and then drove it to an area where he set the car on fire. Little Rock, Arkansas. A white male, Richard Skelton, is attacked and beaten to death by a group of 25 blacks, while other black onlookers yelled, "Kill the cracker!" Bloomington, Illinois. During a carjacking, a black man drags a white woman, Patricia Stansfield, 2 miles to her death. Asheville, North Carolina. A young white woman, Kelly Fromke, 19, rented an apartment in an integrated complex. Negro Jamie Smith, 22, asked her for a date, but had been rejected. Late one night, Smith broke into Kelly's apartment and raped her, and then killed her by stabbing the girl 64 times all over her body. Smith tried to cover up the crime by starting the apartment on fire. The entire building burnt down, killing another tenant. Wichita, Kansas. On December 2000, two Negroes, Reginald and Jonathan Carr, kidnapped 5 young white people. After robbing their white victims, the 2 blacks took them to an isolated spot. They stripped and raped the 2 women. They then forced all 5 to kneel in front of the car and shot each one in the head. We could easily fill up this entire book 12 times over with such cases and cover only a portion of the black hate crimes against whites that have occurred since the Civil Rights Bill was passed in 1964. However, the anti-Christian, anti-American media has gone to great lengths to cover up and suppress the color of crime. When a white person happens to kill a black or colored person, it becomes headline news in every paper in America and is leading news on all television news programs. However, when several blacks viciously murder a white mother and her child, it hardly receives any national media coverage. When such a story is mentioned, the press will not identify the race of the killer, But here are the real facts and statistics regarding race and crime. Point. The U.S. Department of Justice victimization report shows that about 90% of interracial crimes involve black perpetrators and white victims. Point. Blacks commit 50 times the number of violent racial crimes against whites than do whites against blacks. Point. Blacks commit 58% of murders, 42% of forcible rapes, and 62% of robberies, yet are only 12% of the population. Point. 58% of all arrests for weapons violations are blacks. Footnote. For more data, see Jared Taylor, The Color of Crime, 1999. And footnote. It is the same in every other country where the white and black races exist. Blacks are much more violent, immoral, and lawless than white people. All of this proves that the black and white races are not of one blood and do not have a kindred spirit and mind. The media makes it appear that white crime against blacks is 50 times more common, when the reverse is true. Now, what would happen if the media accurately and fairly reported racial crimes as they actually occurred? There would be an uprising by the white population, which would result in either a race war or the deportation of blacks from this country. The writers of the book One Blood made a pointed issue of the case in Jasper, Texas, where a black man was dragged to death by white supremacists. Actually, it was done by four felons, one of whom was black. They were all drunk at the time and were not motivated by race. It is the media that said they were white supremacists and neglected to tell the public one of them was black. All of this proves that the media is biased and racist. The writers of the book One Blood do not report the facts. They reiterate the propaganda the Antichrist media has programmed into their minds, and that becomes a basis for their non-biblical theology. They thus are forced to be double-minded and hypocritical in their arguments. 6. All egalitarians and humanists who try to promote racial equality will claim that there is no such thing as race, and that there is only one race, the human race. Yet they constantly use racial classifications and race-identifying terms, talking of blacks, whites, Asians, pygmies, Tasmanians, etc. If you call two things by different names, they are different. The Negro is something different from the European in a variety of physiological characteristics, as are male and female. To say there are no races would be the same as saying there are no sexes. Both are genetically determined. Thus, the races and the sexes are referred to by different words. Egalitarians have, for a century or more, tried to get everyone else to abandon the word race and the idea that there are distinct races. The effort has made no headway because the law of nature prevents it from doing so. It is interesting how often these creationists cry about racism. But how can there be racism if there are no races? It would be like saying there are no sexes, but then also complaining about the problem of sexism and sexual harassment. The hypocrisy of these people is self-evident. When egalitarians try to prove racial equality, what do they use as a standard or benchmark? It is the white race. They talk about the blacks and Hispanics being as advanced as the whites, but never say that the white race is as advanced as blacks or Hispanics. They have to show that the colored races are equal to the white race, which in itself shows an inequality among the races. They thus become hypocrites when they say there is no such thing as human races.